cavalcade of 1955. The year's 10 biggest news stories is selected by United Press. Here is Earl J. Johnson, Vice President and General News Manager of United Press. Mr. Johnson.
Here in New York, world headquarters of United Press, we choose each year the 10 stories we believe to be the world's biggest. Some are chosen because of their worldwide significance, some because they could have happened to you or me, all because somehow they touched our lives. The men reporting them are among 6,000 United Press correspondents who work around the globe, around the clock, to bring you the news quickly, accurately, and without bias. To give you the world's best coverage of the world's biggest news.
And now, Cavalcade of 1955. A new year begins, and each day has its headlines. And in heavy Atlantic seas, just off the eastern tip of Long Island, the world's first atom-powered ship, the submarine Nautilus, is undergoing her first sea test.
Take her down.
All ahead, two-thirds.
And an officer with a 1955 title, new to the United States Navy, activates the atomic reactor, the reactor control officer. The Nautilus is a success. January moves on. Financier and draft dodger Serge Rubenstein found strangled in his New York apartment. President Eisenhower signs a bill pledging the U.S. to defend Formosa if the nationalist stronghold should be attacked. February 1955. Pierre Mondes, France, falls as premier of France. And in Moscow... Afternoon of February 8th, 1955. We are in the Great Hall of the Great Kremlin Palace. Here sit 1,300 members of the Supreme Soviet. Obedient members of a puppet legislature, they nevertheless react in surprise to the announcement by the chairman of the Council of the Union.
Look, Malenkov sits on the platform not 20 feet away. Why does someone else read his statement?
Malenkov is premier. No one reads for the premier. He speaks for himself.
Yes, but he is just sitting there. Look, his arms folded, his face like ice. The chairman is going to read Premier Malenkov's statement.
Malenkov resigns as premier of the Soviets. United Press Moscow correspondent Kenneth Brodny races down four flights of stairs, across three Kremlin courtyards, drives six blocks to the telegraph office, phones UP London, and first flashes the news to the world.
A few hours later, 4 o'clock Moscow time, comes another announcement from the platform facing the Supreme Soviet deputies in the Great Hall.
Struggle for power among the Soviet leaders following the death of Stalin breaks out into the open. Bulganin takes over from Malenkov. Number 7 in the list of the year's 10 biggest news stories is selected by United Press. February moves on. Scientists announce the creation of a synthetic diamond.
Georgie, is it real?
March 1955. The year is now 75 days old. And on March 16th, the documents of the 1945 secret Yalta Accord are finally made public. April, April 1955. And the end of its first week headlines the end of a great political career. Winston Churchill resigns as Prime Minister of Great Britain. Churchill, the symbol and the voice of British courage.
I have never promised anything but blood, tears, toil, and sweat.
April moves on. Anthony Eden is appointed Prime Minister of Great Britain and a great star of the silent movies.
Kiss me, my fool.
Peter Barra dies at 65. And on April 12th, from Ann Arbor, Michigan, comes story number two in the list of the year's 10 biggest news stories as selected by United Press. The polio vaccine, developed by Dr. Jonas Salk. Delos Smith, United Press science editor, reports,
The University of Michigan at Ann Arbor was the meeting place of leading scientists and newsmen from all over the world. The greatest gathering of its kind for a scientific report when Dr. Thomas Francis Jr., professor of epidemiology, revealed his long-awaited evaluation of the mass testing of the Salk vaccine. The actual voice and words of Dr. Francis.
Vaccination was 80 to 90% effective against paralytic poliomyelitis, that it was 60 to 70% effective against type 1, and that 90% or more effective against the disease caused by type 2 and type 3 virus.
The man of the hour in the world of medicine that day was Dr. Jonas Salk of the University of Pittsburgh. Here is Dr. Salk.
While the contribution of some may seem greater than that of others, in one way or another, this gigantic experiment is symbolic of the equally great foundations, both scientific and philanthropic, without which it could not have been conceived nor executed.
There were to be problems of testing and manufacture of the vaccine before autumn of 55, but there is no doubt today that the Salk vaccine is 75% or more effective in preventing paralytic polio. That we are on the threshold of the conquest of polio.
The clock ticks off 1955, the month of May. In Argentina, the Chamber of Deputies votes to eliminate Roman Catholicism as a state religion. The U.S. Supreme Court directs the state to end racial segregation in public schools within a reasonable time. June 1955. In June, the CIO, United Automobile Workers, sign an historic three-year pact with the automobile industry, which includes a modified annual wage for a big segment of the auto industry. A modified annual wage. Number 8 in the list of the year's 10 biggest news stories as selected by United Press. June 1955 moves on. The headlines report violence in Argentina as President Perón crushes an armed revolt within 24 hours. July 18, the heads of the governments of France, Great Britain, the Soviet Union, and the United States meet at the summit. Number 6 in the list of the year's 10 biggest news stories as selected by the editors of United Press. Five days, leaders of the world's four great powers meet in an atmosphere of apparent goodwill. Particularly newsworthy is the friendly, smiling manner of the Russians, says Foreign Minister Vyacheslav Molotov.
I am getting old now, and I'd like the people, including the Americans, to think of me as something more than a man who says no.
But the Russians do say no on German unity and other items, although they agree with bright smiles to have the foreign ministers explore for solutions. On the fourth day of the conference, however, something happens that wipes the smiles from their faces and makes them squirm. President Eisenhower makes a dramatic proposal.
This is Joe Grigg, UP correspondent at Geneva. Today, President Eisenhower interrupted his reading of a formal paper, took off his glasses, looked straight at the Russian delegates across the table from him, and, speaking extemporaneously, uttered these words, quote, I propose that we begin an arrangement very quickly, as between ourselves, immediately. These steps would include to give each other a complete blueprint of our military establishment. Next, to provide within our countries facilities for aerial photography to the other country. What I propose I assure you, would be but a beginning.
Eisenhower's dramatic proposal and the friendly conduct of the Russians made the summit conference a symbol of the world's hope for peace. The spirit of Geneva became a diplomatic byword. But before 1955 was to end, Soviet smiles were to disappear. Old Soviet tactics to come back. August 1955. Hurricanes and floods strike the northeastern United States. Number 4 in the list of the year's 10 biggest news stories as selected by United Press. Within 1 week, two hurricanes, Connie and Diane, lashed and smashed 6 northeastern states. Houses, barns, buildings, bridges, stores, and shops crumble, crack, are washed apart by the fury of the elements and the inexorable power of rushing, rising waters. Connecticut is hardest hit. Dreadful story of wind and water, releasing each day of the hurricane's fury as much energy as 200,000 atomic bombs, the 1955 floods are among the worst in U.S. history. 191 are dead. Damage estimated at more than $1.5 billion. August 1955 records havoc and destruction. But September 1955 opens with news that is bright and cheerful, at least to some people. The Brooklyn Dodgers win the National League Baseball pennant. September moves on. 1955 has only 4 months left. West Germany and the Soviet Union agree to establish diplomatic relations. In Argentina, civil war breaks out. 3 days later, the government of Juan de Perón falls. Fall of Perón. Number 5 in the list of the year's 10 biggest news stories as selected by United Press. Miles west of Buenos Aires lies the city of Cordoba. On September 16th, a general of the government aviation school in that city summons an aide to his office.
These greetings are to be dispatched at once by telegraph.
But, General, they all say happy birthday. And you are sending this to all the names on this list?
The names are of friends of mine in the Army, Navy, and Air Force. Happy birthday. They will know what it means.
And they do know what it means. The code signal for the revolt against Perón, for 12 years Argentina's dictator. Final act is reaching its climax. The inevitable end to a series of events covering years of brutal dictatorship. Years of a closed mind.
Perón suspends freedom of press and radio.
Years of a closed fist.
This is the police! Open in the name of Perón! Open! Break down the door!
Years of a closed conscience. Of war against the Catholic Church in a country where 90% of a population of 18 million are Catholic.
By order of Perón, divorce is legalized. By order of Perón, prostitution is legalized. By order of Perón, religious education in the public schools is forbidden. By order of Perón, Monsignor Manuel Tato, Auxiliary Bishop and Vicar General of Buenos Aires, and his assistant, Monsignor Ramon Novoa, expelled from Argentina.
But now, in September 1955...
Perón is overthrown. The revolution is ended. A new day dawns for Argentina. A day of justice and liberty.
As the year ended, a shining symbol of Argentina's traditional freedoms, the great newspaper, La Prensa, is restored to its rightful owner, Dr. Gainza Paz, who fought Perón until his newspaper was confiscated and he himself was exiled. At the airport in New York City, Dr. Gainza prepares to return in triumph.
Well, my plan is, of course, go back to Buenos Aires, get together with my friends and associates, and start publishing the paper as soon as possible, as a free and independent newspaper it was, until it was stolen by Perón.
September has 9 days to go. Rocky Marciano knocks out Archie Moore in the ninth round to retain his heavyweight crown. The Yankees clinch the American League pennant. And on September 24th, from Denver, Colorado, where President Eisenhower is visiting his mother-in-law, a White House secretary announces,
"The president has had a mild coronary thrombosis."
The president suffers a heart attack. Number one in the list of the year's 10 biggest news stories as selected by United Press. Merriman Smith of the United Press, dean of the White House Correspondence Corps, reports on the events of the president's illness.
Today is Saturday, September 24th. Mr. Eisenhower was stricken on the 42nd day of his annual Colorado work and play vacation. Yesterday afternoon, the president played 27 holes of golf. 2 hours after midnight today, the president's private physician, Major General Howard Snyder, was summoned to the home of Mrs. Eisenhower's mother. At approximately 2:30 that afternoon, the news broke. Assistant Press Secretary Murray Snyder told reporters, who told the world, that President Eisenhower had suffered a heart attack.
October, the first feel of autumn is in the air. And in Brooklyn, the heady, glorious tingle of victory is there, too.
Them bums, they made it!
Brooklyn Dodgers win their first World Series title. Number 10 in the list of...
Pardon me. Permit me. Ladies and gentlemen, the Brooklyn Dodgers win their first World Series title. Number 10 in the list of the year's 10 biggest news stories as selected by the United Press. Only by us, it's number one. Them bums, they made it.
After that event, October somehow continues on. Science discovers a new atom particle known as the antiproton, or negative proton. William Woodward Jr., wealthy sportsman, is killed by a shotgun blast fired by his wife, who mistakes him for a prowler. And in London, England, it is 8 p.m. on October 31st. The British Broadcasting Corporation's sound and television stations interrupt the evening's programs.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special announcement. Here is the text of a message issued shortly after 7 p.m. at Clarence House.
Princess Margaret announces her decision about Group Captain Peter Townsend. Number 3 in the list of the year's 10 biggest news stories as selected by United Press. Not only in London, but in virtually every place in the world, Princess Margaret's announcement is the climax to one of the great romantic chapters of our time.
I would like it to be known that I have decided not to marry Group Captain Peter Townsend. I've been aware that subject to my renouncing my rights of succession, it might have been possible for me to contract a civil marriage. But mindful of the Church's teaching that Christian marriage is indissoluble, and conscious of my duty to the Commonwealth, I have resolved to put these considerations before any others.
It is November 1st, 1955. The place, the airport terminal, Denver. A young man, 23 years old, is feeding quarters into an insurance vending machine. Six quarters. $37,500 worth of insurance.
Name, Mrs. Daisy King. Your flight, Mother. Goodbye, Mother.
plane explodes in midair. A son is arrested and charged with the murder of his mother and 43 other passengers. Number 9 in the list of the year's 10 biggest news stories as selected by United Press. And now, here again is Earl J. Johnson, Vice President and General News Manager of United Press. Mr. Johnson.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard the 10 biggest news stories of the year. There is, however, one other story of special meaning to newsmen everywhere and of deep concern to you who depend on the free flow of news. In May 1955, Gene Simons, United Press Manager for Southeast Asia, headquartered in Singapore, went out to get a news story. That was his routine job, just as it is the job of newsmen everywhere, to get the story. What you are about to hear are the actual words, the actual events, as carefully as they could be determined from newsmen and responsible witnesses in Singapore.
Simons?
Yeah. Okay.
Still trouble, eh? Police using hoses, right? Students in the mobs? Some students. Yeah, all right, thanks.
What's up, Jane?
I was Wee Kim Wee on the phone, United Press Manager for Malaya. Had several Chinese newsmen at the scene of the riot. We should have fuller coverage of this trouble out here. We could use some films, too. I'll pick up my camera and see the trouble.
Gene Simons goes to his apartment and picks up a 16-millimeter camera, hails a cab, tells the driver where he wants to go.
Alexandra Road.
No, thank you. No go, sorry.
Why not?
Much trouble there. Big trouble. Riot.
Well, I know it's the heart of the riot area. I want to go there.
Finally, at 11 o'clock, an old friend of Simons, a Malayan cabbie named Abdul Bin Ali, agrees to take him.
It is very dangerous, but I know you must go there, and so I take you as my friend. But it would be better if you do not go.
11:30 p.m. The cab of Gene Simons is stopped by a police roadblock.
Sorry, sir. You can go no further.
I'm a United Press correspondent. Here's my identification.
Troubles out here, sir. We have been authorized to use firearms if necessary. You cannot pass. It is prohibited.
Okay. Abdul, let's try someplace else.
They drive along Gervois Road, a side road leading to Alexandra. Another roadblock. 5 Malaya constables and a radio car on duty. Gene talks to the chief officer for 5 minutes.
In the United Press, here's who I am. I take full responsibility. A reporter has to go where the news is. Your orders do not prohibit newsmen.
I advise against it, Mr. Simons. But you are right. My orders do not specifically prohibit newsmen. I cannot stop you if you insist on your own responsibility.
Slowly, the cab swings around the barrier, inches in low gear down the silent street. Suddenly...
We better go back, Mr. Simons.
They're coming down the street. I'm getting out to see.
Gene Simons is out to see the truth so he can report it. He walks down the street, his camera in one hand. The mob bursts around the corner. For a moment, the front rank halts, seeing the lanky figure in the street. Gene Simons raises his camera. We're 15 yards away. Some 40 rioters move toward the man with the camera.
I'm an American.
I am an American. I am an
Singapore is pretty quiet tonight.
Yeah.
The police finally stopped the riots.
Not soon enough.
Uh-huh. You know what Gene's last words were? I am an American.
A guy from Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, Ohio to Singapore. It's a long way to come to get killed.
Maybe it's not as far as some people think.
Cavalcade of 1955. The 10 biggest news stories of the year, selected by United Press. Cavalcade of 1955 was prepared from material previously published or broadcast. year to come, news correspondents around the world and your radio station will continue to bring you the world's best coverage of the world's biggest news.